The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman, and we're here breaking down Indiana's season opener against Illinois on Friday, September 2nd at 8 p.m. in Bloomington. The game will be televised on Fox Sports 1, and you can also hear it on the radio on the IU Radio Network. TJ, it's finally game week. We've been waiting a long time for the new calendar and new season to start, and it's finally here. What are your thoughts?
Definitely excited. You're right. It's always a long off season. The season is always far too short. I'm sure that as sick as we are of talking about last year, the players and coaches are that, you know, times 10. I know that they are more than ready to get on the field and try to put their best foot forward, getting past the disaster that was 2021 and really, you know, starting that path to a bowl game. We've talked about it all offseason, how important this game is, not just for this season, but for the overall direction of the program. We got a glimpse at Illinois against Wyoming. It's going to be a challenge. I'm ready to see how the Hoosiers respond.
It's one of these games. While we started talking about it probably in the middle of the season last year, TJ, when it was still Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Even if the kind of, thank goodness they're not playing Northwestern after seeing them against Nebraska, but it's a big opener. I think it's very important for the program. We've seen it, and I think Nate touched on it last night during our roundtable. If you haven't listened to the roundtable, we had our friends over at Armchair Illinois come on and discuss the game. And, that's the previous podcast, and it's on YouTube as well. But, you know, how momentous the opener is. You go back to 2020. And Michael Penix barely crosses the line for the 2-point conversion, and it sends IU skyrocketing and Penn State down the toilet. And then last year, IU goes into Iowa and gets smacked around. And really, you know, you could say they recovered a little bit. They had a shot against Cincinnati, but they really never recovered from that, you know, that loss. So it's a huge opener. It really is, especially given, you know, with the money that's coming in from TV, whether it's Scott Dolson or not, thinks it's a windfall or just, you know, ho-hum. There's money coming into the program, and unfortunately IU football is going to have to justify where that money goes to, even though that they need it. So it's a huge opener. Plus, it's Illinois. IU hasn't hosted Illinois since 2013. It's a game that I wish was played more often. It is on the basketball court. It's, I think, a rivalry in basketball, and it should be a rivalry in football too, as they're, you know, evenly matched programs at this time. But it's a monstrous opener, and it should be a good night for football in Bloomington as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It looks like the weather's going to be pretty nice. You never know what you're going to get, but a night game, heat shouldn't be bad at all. Once that sun goes down, hopefully no rain. It doesn't look like there will be any around. At this point, I think we are, ready to kind of analyze this particular matchup. You know, I think we are finally past just being able to talk in generalities. And as there are so many unknowns with IU, we at least have seen Illinois and can kind of theorize and analyze a little bit about how the Hoosiers match up with them. It's a Brett Bielema team. I mean, they are going to look to run the ball first and foremost. And they start with Chase Brown in that aspect. I mean, one of the better tailbacks that IU is going to see all season. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they've got a couple of standouts. It was a solid unit last year, and they certainly shut down Wyoming, particularly through the air. Hard to say how much of that was just a really piss-poor Wyoming team and how much of it was a great defensive performance from Illinois. We're going to find out on Saturday or on Friday night, though, and kind of be able to see for ourselves how far the Indiana offense has progressed. I think the first question that we have to ask is, you know, who's going to line up at quarterback and how are they going to look? I mean, it is the obvious starting point, and it's a bit simple and basic, but it's so critical to your success as an offense. And as of today, Tom Allen knows who that quarterback is going to be that lines up. We don't know if he, you know, consulted with Jim Harbaugh and that they maybe went through some King Solomon wisdom together or not. Hard to say. I hope that there's no splitting of any babies going on in Ann Arbor or Bloomington. But we're going to find out who that quarterback winner is, who gets that first crack. And they need to come out. And this is going to be kind of my first key. Walt Bell has to get that offense settled in early. The way that the season started last year, it was bad from the get-go. They never got settled in Iowa City. They have to figure out a way to come out in the first couple of drives and get into a rhythm on offense.
Yeah, I think that's huge. You know, maybe you see Tom Allen take the ball on offense just to get them out there, get their feet wet and you know, take a dip in the pool. But he won't do that. He's going to put his defense on the field first, try and get a three and out and go from there or take away. Mm-hmm. Going back to Illinois against Wyoming, Wyoming's not good. They were good last year. No. They lost everybody. I believe their coaching staff was like recruiting people on Twitter like 6 weeks before fall camp opened or something. It was ridiculous. It was 17-6 in the third quarter. Illinois kind of kept them around. They never really put the game away early, but they did late. The guy I think everybody's going to have their eyes on for IU is Chase Brown. The number two running back, Josh McCray, is ruled out for the game on Saturday for Illinois. He's their bigger back, but Chase Brown, he had three touchdowns last week against Illinois. He's a really good back. He's looking for back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He can go yep. off at any time. He's the guy that in the defensive meeting room, you say, hey, he's not beating us. I thought Tommy DeVito was efficient, but, you know, he completed, I think, 29 passes for 194 yards or something like that. So he's not a big play. He didn't show the big play quarterback, but again, it was week zero, and I don't know how much Illinois held close to the chest, because it did look like Illinois' offense yeah. from years past, not a Lunny run offense that he ran at UTSA. So we'll see. But for IU, I think you hit the nail on the head, TJ. It's getting in rhythm, making sure you made the right decision at quarterback, whomever it is, and you know, getting on the board first, starting with some positive vibes, and just don't let that doubt from last year creep in. Because if they fall behind, you know this crowd is going to start moaning and groaning and, you know, get restless pretty early. So I think a fast start's imperative for IU. But, you know, watching that Illinois game, I do think Indiana has the better roster. Illinois is not bad. But I do, you know, you look at their wide receivers, I think IU secondary is better than their wide receivers. You look at their offensive line and IU's defensive line. I think IU has the advantage there. They have the advantage in special teams. And we'll see if they have the advantage on with the quarterback, because usually the best quarterback wins these games. And if IU has the better quarterback, I think they're going to win. So let's go to matchup to watch, TJ. What matchup are you keying in on for IU on Friday night?
Yeah, this is really throwing darts because there are so many that we just have major question marks about, not in whether or not IU's capable, just how it's going to look. So many question marks with the changeover in personnel. Looking at this, though, I'm very interested to see how IU's passing game does against that Illinois secondary. Quartavius Martin, and I'm sure I mispronounced that, very good corner, one of the better ones in the Big Ten, had a really good week last week. Illinois, probably their defensive player of the game. Wyoming got absolutely nothing going through the passing game. Again, that is probably part Illinois and part Wyoming. Early betting tip, I would bet against Wyoming early and often this season until the lines adjust accordingly, because I don't see them having any success against pretty much anybody on their schedule. But I'm very interested to see how I use new receivers plus DJ Matthews coming back from injury, and whoever's up at quarterback with this new offensive system, how does this IU passing attack go against this pretty good Illinois secondary? I do think that there's a sliver of hope here in that Wyoming game. They were able to run the ball pretty effectively against Illinois. They got some good quarterback run play from Peasley, and they had a running back that averaged, I think it was like 5.6 yards a carry for the Cowboys, which to get that despite having basically no aerial attack at all is a pretty good sign that maybe IU can have some success on the ground. So maybe a boost of confidence early for the running game opens up that passing game. That's my matchup to watch, is the IU passing game against the Illinois secondary.
Yeah, my matchup to watch is Cam Jones against Chase Brown. Cam Jones is IU's stinger linebacker. He's going to try and make up for the loss of Micah McFadden, although they play different positions. He's going to be watching Chase Brown. I wouldn't call it a spy, but he's right. He's going to be keyed in on what Chase Brown is doing when he has the ball. And, you know, I think Cam Jones is probably IU's best overall defensive player, at least up there. You're not putting Tywin Mullen on him. You're not putting, you know, anybody else. But him, you know, Cam Jones and Noah Pierre are going to have to play a big role in this game to stop the Illinois run game, because make them pass against IU's secondary. That's the key. And if Cam Jones could contain Chase Brown, then and make Tommy DeVito throw, I like IU's chances here.
Yep. Yeah, there it is. I think IU's defensive game plan, and this is not unique to Illinois. This is, I mean, you're approaching most games this way. You want to limit them on first and second down, force Illinois into passing situations, and make Tommy DeVito and those wide receivers, which again, I think they're okay. You know, Isaiah Williams, probably the best of that group. They're good blocking wide receivers, as you have to be if you're going to get on the field for Brett Bielema. They're physical, but I don't see any real potential game breakers or deep threats. But if you can get them into those obvious passing situations, hopefully tee off and force DeVito into some mistakes on third downs, and I think that's your game plan on the side of the ball. And you're right. To be able to do that, you've got to be able to slow down Chase Brown and prevent him from hitting those big plays or just picking up those solid chunk yardage, those 6-7 yards on first down, setting them up for easy second and third down conversions.
Yeah, it's containing Chase Brown is the key. And if you could keep them out of the end zone and settle for longer field goals, that even better, because their field goal game is shaky. TJ, if Indiana is going to win this game, what are two keys that they need to take care of?
Yeah, I think the one for me is going to be limit Chase Brown, which then in turn forces Tommy DeVito to make plays to beat you. Not saying he can't, but that is the plan of attack for sure. You would rather have that happen than let Chase Brown go off, like I said, picking up 6-7 yards a pop. Key number two for me that Indiana's got to be able to accomplish is avoid the bad start. You mentioned get off to a fast start. For me, it's even I'll even set a lower bar than that. Just avoid a bad start. Get into the game, get into a rhythm without falling into a hole, and I think I'll feel pretty good about things. I think that what we saw last year a couple of times was, especially at Iowa, got off to such a bad start, you never gave yourself a chance. And that throws the game plan out the window and really players right into Illinois' hands as well. If you let them get a lead, a Brett Bielema team with a lead is a problem. So for me, that's the second kind of key thing for Indiana is avoid that bad start, get into a rhythm, get your feet wet, get those opening game nerves out, and then build that confidence from there. And I'll add a third key in here, and I think it is an important one. Indiana's got to create some takeaways. They need to help the offense get into some good positions with some takeaways. That would be great. Give the offense some short field to build some confidence in themselves. And then that defense, I mean, that's what they've talked about all offseason, is getting back to the kind of defense that Tom Allen wants to have. And that involves forcing those takeaways. So that has to start opening night.
Yeah, those are three really good keys and probably covers most of it, if not all of it. I think one thing we haven't covered is Indiana's got to win the special teams battle too. This is a game where the teams are pretty even in terms of expectations and maybe talent, all around talent. You have a game breaker punt returner with DJ Matthews. I think you know maybe David Holloman gives you a spark at kick return and things like that. I think that's an area where IU could take advantage, especially if Illinois kicks it short. I have to rewatch that game again to see how their kicker is, but the guys on the round table yesterday said he struggled on kickoffs, so I'll take their word for it. That might be an area where IU could take advantage. And then definitely in the field goal game, because their kicker, anything over 40, 42 yards, anything over that, and it's a crapshoot for them. They're breaking in a new punter as well. Now for IU, I think James Evans needs to be more consistent. He has a monster leg. He's, for a guy who most of the, some of the time was hitting 13 yard punts, average 42.9 yards on the season. So he does have a big leg, but he's got to be consistent, and they can't have any catastrophic failures on that unit. You can't give Illinois a short field because they returned a kick or a punt, and you can't James Evans shanked a punt, and you can't leave points on the field missing field goals. And things like that. Second key for me is get the offensive rhythm, get some confidence, and things like that. Like you said, don't get off to a bad start. I think that's the key there, is you gotta have some confidence. Show this team that they could go out and move down the field and put points on the board. And you just hope it's a touchdown, and things like that. Outside of that, it's control your emotions. We've seen IU hype up games before and just completely fall flat on their face, kind of like they did at Iowa last year. So it's control your emotions, get into the game, but don't make the moment bigger than it is. It's an opener. It's going to be tricky, and things like that. But don't make the moment too big. It's not the Super Bowl. It's not the national title. Take a one play at a time, one drive at a time, and I think IU gets out of there with the win, and then you could start stacking some wins against Idaho and hopefully Western Kentucky.
Right. Yep. Certainly first things first. And I do think that the way that this game starts, well, certainly, we'd be wise not to overreact to first drive results in no points. We'd be wise not to panic and say, oh no, the offense is terrible again. It would do absolute wonders if Indiana could establish themselves early in this contest for sure.
Yes, it would. TJ, let's get to predictions. What's your prediction for Friday night?
Well, I think that any prediction is a complete fool's errand, particularly this early in the season with so many changes, so many unknowns. That being said, we are kind of in the business of doing that. And I just have a strange feeling that may be completely incorrect and look really stupid by the end of Friday night. However, I do think that this Indiana team is really, really, I think, almost hurt by the way that they performed last season, embarrassed perhaps by how things fell so completely apart in 2021. And I think that that has fueled the off season. It has been a quiet off season for those that say, just stop talking and go do it. There's been no talking from Indiana, none. We've had a complete lack of information coming out of Bloomington. We have no clue how things are going to go. And I think that the complete lack of expectations on the outside sets up from an intangible standpoint perfectly for this IU team to really surprise people. I'm not suggesting they're going to bounce back and win 8 games. I'm not suggesting it's going to be an amazing season. I do think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I do think that Indiana comes out and plays very well and very hard on Friday night. I've got the Hoosiers winning this one in a close contest, 27-21, to get off to the 1-0 start.
Yeah, that's my feeling too, is that they took last season personally. I know people get upset at the LEO, and like, first of all, get a life. Second of all, you're right. They haven't talked. They haven't, there's been no, we're deserve to be in the top 15 or top 25. There's nothing. It's all been
right.
We're working hard. We're being more physical and things like that. Now they do have their word for the year, which is build, and each player had their one word, but there has been no talk about we're confident, we're going to win Big Ten champs, or we should have been in the Big Ten title game in 2020. There's been none of that. I think they got their slice of humble pie last year, and it's showing. I do think Indiana's the more talented team. It's pretty obvious. I think at every level, they're probably better than Illinois. And yeah, Illinois has a good running game, but their offensive line struggled. Even though they didn't give up a sack, I think that Indiana's defensive line could take advantage there, especially if they come up with some blitz schemes and get back to what Allen wants to do. They have the advantage on special teams, and we'll see. Whoever it is, I think Jack Tuttle is probably better than Tommy DeVito, and I think Connor Bazelak is better than Tommy DeVito. Sean Shivers should be a pretty physical runner and things like that. I'm going to take IU 28 and Illinois 17. I wasn't overly impressed with Illinois against Wyoming. Maybe that's because the Northwestern Nebraska game was so exciting, and I was just like, okay. But you're nervous about the game because we haven't seen IU play since Purdue, and they were god awful against Purdue. But again, there's just a different vibe. So I'm going to take IU. Them being at home is a big deal as well. And feeding off which should be a pretty decent crowd at around over 40,000. So that's a good Friday night crowd for IU. And if they could get going early, they'll get that crowd behind them. Hopefully a large and loud student crowd. And IU walks out of there, they're a winner. And we could change the vibes of the podcast too. Instead of drowning our sorrows, we could celebrate and talk about a win for the first time since, late September last season.
Yeah, that would be most welcome. If nothing else, Indiana, just give us that. If nothing else, give us that. I mean, yep. we would prefer not to have to wait for Idaho. Let's get off on the right foot. And like you said, it's an opportunity to build a nice little start with Idaho and Western Kentucky on deck. Get yourself some momentum and really do a 180 on the feelings around the whole program. So it's a big one. I'm fired up, and there's going to be so much for us to analyze and unpack after this game. I really wish it was I wish they opened against Idaho so that we could maybe spend a bit more time during the game, like focusing on who's playing where and who's doing what, and what the new faces look like in their new spots. It's going to take maybe three or four viewings this weekend of this game on Friday night to really be able to unpack everything that we see. So I'm really excited. Hopefully everybody else is too. And we're going to have everything possible coverage-wise before the game and after the game. So stick with us. I appreciate you guys being with us all off-season, and hopefully it's going to pay off with the nice 2022. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for everybody for sticking with us. I know it could be tough sometimes, especially something that we all enjoy. And when it's not going the right way, it's kind of becomes an obligation or something like that. So, but I do want to make one last point, TJ, again, on how big this game is. We saw in week zero, the narrative on Scott Frost was he couldn't win close games. He messes up. And then everybody picked, a lot of people, Kurt Herbstreit picked them to win the West. After the first drive, they were like, oh, this is a new Nebraska. And then all of a sudden they onside kick up 11. And imagine that Northwestern recovered it without having their hands team on the field. I thought that was impossible. But it's back to Scott Frost is done. He stinks and everything like that. My point being is that IU's got to change the narrative again. It's back to, they did it in 2019 when they beat Maryland in a game that we've seen them time and time again lose. Well, last year, brought back a lot of bad memories and kind of changed the narrative negatively. IU's got to come out and put those ghosts back to sleep and get some confidence back. So hopefully they do that. We'll have it all covered. On Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, online at HoosierHuddle.com as well. We'll have post-game stuff, pre-game stuff. And if you're down in Bloomington at the game, stop by the Hoosier Huddle Assembly Call tailgate run by Brian Tonsoni in lot 1011, right behind the practice fields. We'll be happy to see you. Brian's a good guy, and there's some good people at that tailgate as well. So anyway, TJ, thanks for co-hosting, and you know, we'll be back next week to talk a win. We'll have our post-game podcast on Sunday, roundtable on Monday, and again our regular podcast on Tuesday previewing the game. Enjoy the game. Glad football's back again. IU kicks off against Illinois in Bloomington on Fox Sports 1 at 8 p.m. Friday night.
Absolutely. Have a good week, everybody. Enjoy the last couple days before the season kicks off. Let's get after it. Go Hoosiers.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.